This she'er is dedicated le'ili nishmas laya bashmiel.
Damzai in the top line.
Omer Abiyezer ne'nishim erishim e'men yechai. Again, she'er bora ha'kodim, bora ha'olam. Since the beginning of the creation of the world, lo ha'ya adam she'kro ha'il ha'kodim bora ha'odam. There was no person who called Hashem Odom. Odom is master. At Shepo Avraham Avinu Ukro Odom. Shenema Vayena Aleph Daleh Nun Yud. Now it doesn't say Yud Kevav Kevav, which we read Aleph Daleh Nun Yud. But he said Aleph Daleh Nun Yud. Bameida Ki Hashem. We have to understand that here it's not talking merely about the word. The word was coined by Avraham Avinu to be used by everybody. People could have said that about Hashem, but Avraham is the one who held it up as a banner, because he taught everyone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the creator, not only creator, but he conducts all the affairs of the world with full control. Odin means the one who is done, who judges and is a full master of everything in the world. Nothing takes place without him. And because Avraham publicized that and made that famous in the world, that's why it's attributed to him. Now we'll soon see that this was known to all the great men of the past generations. And therefore, Avraham is credited with that because he's the one who raised up the banner of Aleph Daleth Nun Yud, that Hashem is the man he called Olam. Omarav, Avdoni Elonan. Daniel was answered only Elo Bishvil Avraham, for the sake of Avraham Shenema. The Ato Shema Elokeinu El Tilas Avdecho, listen to his prayer, El Tachanuno. Behoyer Panecho Amigdoshcha Hashomim, make shine your face on your desolated face on Hamigdosh. Leman Aleph Daleth Nun Yud. Now Leman Chomi, but he's talking to Hashem. After you say Leman Aleph Daleth Nun Yud, he said, because of your sake. Eloman Avraham Shekarecho. It means this. When Daniel said that, he was talking to Hashem. That's what he meant. But when he used that word, he used it with the knowledge that it was first coined by Avraham Avinu. And therefore, anybody who repeats the tefillah of a tzaddik, even though it's his own words now, it's his own bakasha, but they're using the lashon of the tzaddik means to invoke the merit of the tzaddik. So since he used the language of Avraham Avinu when he prayed to Hashem, he was invoking the merit of Avraham Avinu, who started the style, the custom of speaking of Hashem as the master of all the world. Say that. Now these inyonim are disconnected subjects only because Rabbi Yechon said them in the name of a Tanoim, that's why they brought them. Minayim, so where do we learn? You should not appease a man in the midst of his anger. Of course you should appease a man. If it means you shouldn't try to get him to stop while he's boiling. Shinyamah, Kona Yerecha, my face means my anger will go away, and then the Hamdi Yechesha, I will let go of you. It means I will grant you what you want. In general, the idea is like this. When you come to somebody who is blowing up before he had a chance to release all of his steam, so he might insult you, and you get in a quarrel. You try to appease him. It might make the quarrel worse. So wait until he is more amenable to reason. He's willing to listen to reason. If you don't succeed in getting him to quiet down, then you go away with a bad opinion of him. Look, I tried to appease him, and he didn't accept it. But it's not his fault, because when a man is angry, he's not responsible for what he's doing. So give him a chance to quiet down a little bit, and then approach him and appease him. Say that. Now what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said was only a marshal for other people to learn, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to be appeased. There was a different story, because his anger was a refuah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry, it's a healing for the world. It's a medicine. So it means, don't try to stop me until I finish administering the medicine. But since we have that example in the Torah, we have to learn from it, and the way we deal with people too. Say that.
Omer Rabbi Yechanan, משום רבי שמען בן יוחאי, מיום שבורא הקדוש ברוך הוא עשה עולם. From the beginning of the creation of the world, לא היה אדם שהודה להקדוש ברוך הוא. There's no one who spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the expression Hoda, which means thanks. It didn't mean they didn't thank, because we have cases where they thanked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said openly, Baruch Keil Elyem Asher Migen Sarecha B'Yadecha. But the language of Hoidoe was not used until Leah came along, and she used that language. At Sheboa saw Leah, Behoid saw Leah came, and she gave a thank to our Kodesh Baruch with this expression. This is explained here more than once. I'll say it once more, the people never heard it. The Chiddush of the word Hoidoi is, because Hoidoi combines two concepts. The word Hodu means to uplift, to elevate, to exalt. The word Hod, which means majesty or elevation, and is used for thanking. So the idea of Hoidoi is because you thank, you're grateful to somebody, that's why you elevate that person. You look for his good virtues. You look for good things in him. So when we are grateful to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we speak his praises, how great he is, or how kindly he is, how wise he is. Now this concept, to put both concepts into one word, that was the invention of Leah. She's the first one who's credited with using this expression in the Torah. And that's a Chiddush. And since then, the Jewish nation has been repeating it constantly. Hoidol Hashem. Again, the concept of elevating HaKadosh Baruch Hu and praising him because of our gratitude. The obligation of gratitude requires us to see the greatness of Hashem, to elevate him. Shenema HaPam, this time she said, when Yehuda was born, Ode Es Hashem. And the Medrash says that as a result of that, she was worthy that from Yehuda came forth a man who was the greatest praiser of Hashem in history, as David HaMelech. Because she said that, so she was Zeche from Yehuda. That's the son from whom she gave his name. Yehuda means he will praise Hashem. So there came forth David, who became the greatest praiser of Hashem in history. Say that. Reuven. Now Reuven, according to what the Torah explains, it because Lo Hashem be Onya, Hashem saw my affliction, that she was the less loved, and therefore he gave her a son. But we have a principle that Hapam Oides Hashem, and later Yank Avinu said Yehuda, Ato Yeducho Achecha, your brothers will elevate you and praise you. So we see the same name has more than one meaning. So here also Reuven, the Gemara gives another meaning in addition to what's written in the Torah. Omar Abeloza, Leah said, Reuven, look at my son. Look at this son. She's saying that this son is exceptional. Reuven was exceptional in his kindliness. He was an exceptionally kind-hearted person. That's what she foretold for him. Reuven, look at this kind of a son that I'm having. Omar Leah, Reuven, take a look. Ma bein bni, what's the difference between my son, leben chomi, or my father-in-law's son. That's Esav. Difference between Reuven and Esav. Yilo ben chomit, because my father-in-law's son, Esav, afal gavdi mi dai teizov ne libichu es oda, with his own willingness, with his das, he sold his birthright. You see, by yimker es b'cheo sole yakev. So he sold his birthright willingly. Chazu, but see, Maksibe, what's written about him? Ayishtom Esav es Yaakov. Esav hated Yaakov because of that. Maksibe is written, Vayoyim Ahi kol Hashmo Yaakov. Did he rightly call his name Yaakov? Did he not rightly call his name Yaakov? Yaakov means also trickery. Vayakvein Ezer Pamoyim. He deceived me twice. Es Bechayrosi Loka. He took my birthright. No, he didn't take it. Yes, he sold it to him. And so Esau held it against Yaakov that he tricked him out of the birthright. But my son Reuben, even though against Reuben's will, Esau took away the birthright, the Bechera, from Reuben. You see, when he profaned his father's bed, that's the story of Reuben and Bilha Yankev's Shifcha, Nitna Bechayrasel of Yosef. His Bechayra, his birthright, was given to the sons of Yosef. Yosef now has, instead of one Shevet, he has two Shvatim. Everybody else had only one Shevet, and Yosef has Menashe and Ephraim. Now, so Reuben lost his birthright to Yosef. Afilohi still, though Ikani Bey, he didn't have any envy against him. The Siva Yishma, Reuben heard when the brothers were planning to kill Yosef, and he rescued him from their hand. Now this has to be explained, because when Reuben rescued Yosef, it was in Parshas Vayeshev. But when Reuben lost the Bechira, that's in Parshas Vayechi. It was later. So how can you say that Reuben, despite the fact that he was losing his Bechira, still rescued Yosef? Answer is that, first understand the Kasha. With the story that Reuben rescued Yosef was in Parshas Vayeshev. Well, the story that Reuben lost his Bechira was later in Parshas Vayechi. The answer is, when Reuben profaned his father's bed, it says the father that Yaakov heard, and therefore Reuben knew that he, as far as being a firstborn, he was out. That he knew. He's going to lose the Bechira. Only question is, who's going to get it? At the beginning of Yosef, there was no question that the favored son was Yosef already. He was the candidate for the Bechira. So Reuben understood that Yosef is going to get the Bechira that he lost. And still, Reuben rescued Yosef. He had more rachman than all the brothers. Now, the brothers had reasons for wanting to kill Yosef. They considered him a peril to the family. Wanted to be a tyrant. Maybe destroy all the brothers and take over all the property. But Reuben, of all the brothers, had most compassion. And so Leah foretold, look at this son of mine. Now, the Gemara says, because of Reuben's kind character, that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu later was giving out the Orei Miklot, the first one was in the Shevet Reuben. First one to name, a place to save people who killed a fellow man by accident and they had to flee to save their lives from the Geul Adom. So the first one to mention was Reuben, because Posar Be'Hatzolat Kil, because of Reuben's kindly character, he was compassionate. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him this mitzvah of being the first one to save people in the Orei Miklot. Say that. Rus. Rus. What is signified by the name Rus? Now Rus was named in the country of Moab. But Moab was a Semitic country, and they spoke Lashon, not Lashon Kedesh, they spoke Ivris, which is about the same as our language, Lashon Kodesh. We know that the language spoken in Moab was almost exactly the same as the language spoken by the Bnei Yisrael. So the Moab is looking for some significance, because such a great personality who became the mother of the entire Beis David, there must have been some remes, some hint of her future in her name. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, what's meant by Rus, she zochsa, because she was meritorious, she deserved, but yotzeh mimeno David, and went forth from her David, she rivohu la HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He satiated HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shiras v'sish bachas. Now the word roveh is a Lashon Kodesh word in Tanakh, kegan roveh. It means a garden that's well watered. Roveh means, just like Tzome means thirsty. Rav is the opposite of thirsty. It means satiated with drink. Rav means satiated with drink. And so, Rivohu, David, gave HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavayochol to drink all the praises that David was the one who authored them. And therefore, Ruth, when you look about of the great merit that Ruth has, she had many merits. Malchus based David, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, on Hillel, the whole line of the Nisim, Esh Gelusa, many things. But of all the things for which Rus is merited most, it's David's Tillum. David's Tillum is considered the biggest contribution. And there was something in Hus, a certain poetic quality of love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that for that she merited to have such a descendant, and that was in her name beforehand. How do I know such a principle, the Shemor Gorim, that the name can cause it? I mean that the name should mean that? Just because a child was born in Moab and the parents called it Hus, does it mean that signifies something is going to happen in her future? It's a pasuk. Go and look at the works of Hashem. Asher Shom Shamos Baratz. He made deserts on the world. He made desolation in the world. We find desolate places like Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, go and look at Sodom and Gomorrah. And you have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them intentionally. Not merely to destroy them for their sins. That's a different reason. But there are certain purposes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in making those deserts. Again, Luhu Chazu Mifalos Hashem. Go and look at the works of Hashem. Asher Som Shamas Baratz. He made desolation or deserts in the world. Altika Shamas. Don't read desolations or deserts. Eloshemas names. It means this. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Sodom v'Amora into a desolation, you have to know it was for the purpose of getting rid of them. They should not be an obstacle to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was preaching to the world Hachnosas Orphim. That's the great lesson of the parashas. Vayera, Avraham demonstrated hospitality to wayfarers. He taught the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the host of the world, and the world is an inn, and we're all his guests. And Avraham did that, how did he teach it? By being a model himself. He was the host, and he told his guests, don't thank me, thank the great innkeeper, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, right across the way, not far away, where the city is Sodom v'Amora, where it's the opposite. They had a principle that wayfarers were low people, trying to sponge on other people's good feelings. They should work and support themselves, and they shouldn't travel. They should remain home and not have to come to charity of the places where they travel through. And they considered it a crime to help wayfarers. Now, Avraham couldn't succeed in spreading his teachings as long as there was a Sodom v'Amora. Now, Sodom v'Amora, had they been in a different country, they wouldn't have been wiped out. There are a lot of sinful cities in the world. But because they were close to Avraham Avinu, so first of all, his example condemned them, like it says in the Chumash, the Malachi, when they arose from Avraham's table, by Yashkif al-Panish, and they looked at Sodom. So the Chumash would say they contrasted Avraham's house and Sodom. And that's when Sodom was condemned. Avraham's example condemned Sodom. And so, there's another reason, however. In addition to that, Sodom had to be condemned, otherwise Avraham couldn't prosper with his teachings. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes desolation in the world for the purpose, it's not that we think it happened an accident. Deserts develop by nature. No, nothing develops by nature. Everything happens by purpose. So that can happen by a purpose. A name of a woman who became the mother, ancestress of such a great house was an accident. The name that was given was put into the mouths of the parents by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hus means the one who gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu to drink Shiras V'Shish Baruch. Say that. It is a great misfortune. Kosher means a great misfortune. If there's a bad development in a man's house, somebody in his house goes wrong, that's the worst kind of development. Worse than the great misfortune that'll be in the time of Gog Magog. There'll be a great milchomeh before the world will be rid of evil, and then the Malchus Beis David will take over. But of all the evils in the world, the worst is what happens in a man's house. If somebody in Chas V'Shalom goes wrong. Shenema Mizmer LeDavid. David said a Mizmer here. Bevorachai b'nei Avshalom, when he fled from his son Avshalom. Now, he's talking about his son who went wrong and rose up against the father. Achsiv is written in Basra after that, Hashem, or Rabu Sorai, how many are my enemies, Rabim Komim Alai, many arise up against me. Now, so David expressed himself in extreme words when he spoke about what happened in his house. The evil bot Gabi Milchemes Gregor Mogik, see there is written, Lomo Rog Shugoyim, why should the nations be disturbed, Ulumim Yehu Gerik, and the peoples ponder or meditate empty ideas, they're thinking of rebelling against Mashiach ben David. So he's speaking in a mild tone, or there won't be mild. There'll be a very great battle before we get rid of Gog and Magog. Ela bot morabu tzorei lo ksiv, doesn't say how many are my enemies. So we see, when you compare the expressions, that David was more disturbed at what happened in his house than all the external troubles that could happen, which means most efforts we have to put in into seeing that the people, the Bnei Bayis, are trained in the Derech HaTorah, in Emunah, and Midas Tevis and Masim Tevis, more than we have to spend efforts fighting against our enemies. Say that. And now the Gemara goes on to show that in the midst of a very great misfortune, a man should seek the benefits that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in the midst of the misfortune. Mizmer la David, it's a song of David, Bivorcha, when he fled, Mipnei Avshalom Beno. Fragdimar Mizmer la David, it's a song of David. Kina la David, Niboyele. He should say it's a lamentation of David. David was lamenting what happened to him, like we said before. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Avi Shalom, they say it has to be Avi Shalom, not Avshalom, because nobody gives a name after Avshalom. Avshalom is not somebody who we should name a person after. So it's Avishalom, a different name. Moshe Lemoadov Ademu. What can you compare this to? Lo'odom Sheyotzer Lovishtarchei. A man against whom a document, an IOU, a deed of indebtedness came forth. Kedim Shepro Yotzer. Before he paid it, he said. He knows there's a deed out against him, so he said. La'aches Shepro Yotzer. After he paid it off, he's happy. He got rid of the debt. Afkan here also, David, Kibin Sh'omal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, as a result of something he had done, Hinine Meikim Olecho Ro'o Mi Beisecho, I'm going to raise up against you an evil from your own house. Hoyotzer, so David was worried, he was sad. Or may say, Shemo Eved, maybe it'll be a servant that will rebel against me, a servant that rebels against the master. Won't have any pity on his master. Oh, Mamza. Maybe it might be a Mamza. He might have a Mamza. He doesn't know what could happen to him. The Lo Chayes Olai. The Mamza won't have pity on his father. The Mamza will say, this man begot me legitimately, made trouble for me, so he'll kill him. But Kibin, because when he saw his Avshalom, it was a son of Avshalom, a kosher son, a kosher begotten son, some he was happy. But he said, at least he'll have some pity on me. There's a chance I'll be able to be spared. So in the midst of his great distress, that it was a son, had it been an Eved, he wouldn't have been so distressed, but a son is a great disappointment. Nevertheless, in the midst of his disappointment, he found a bright spot. At least he'll have some pity on him. That's how a person should, in the greatest misfortune, should find some things that are a reason to rejoice and be grateful. Mishum Hochim, that's why I said Mizmor, a song, say that. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Yehoi, Mutal his Gores B'Rishoyim B'Elam Hazeh. It's permitted to start up with Rishoyim in this world. Now that needs explanation. First, why tell us it's Muta? And secondly, why say this world? You wouldn't do it in the next world. It means this. The next world is a place of enjoyment, not this world. So you might think you can't start up with Rishoyim in this world. You're trying to get a little happiness in this world before the time, the jumping the gun. The time will come. They'll get what's coming to them in the next world. So why start up in this world? And the second thing, you're starting up, you're looking for trouble. A man has to protect himself in this world. So he should duck. He should keep quiet and not bother the Hashem in this world. So he says, no, it's muta. It's muta to start up with the Hashem in this world. And even though this world And you might have enjoyment in defeating them too. It's mutar. It's a chiddush. Two chiddush. One chiddush is, you might think that it's a sakana. Better to be quiet. Don't start out with them. And secondly, if you're doing it, you're going to have some enjoyment from their discomfiture, their defeat, their downfall. So maybe you should leave enjoyment for the next world. He says, no, it's much in this world too. Shenemah, oizvei, teiro, yahavu, rosh, those who forsake Torah, they're the ones who praise the Rishayim. When you see people praising Rishayim, you have to know that oizvei, teiro, anybody who praises a Rosh, whether it's in public or at some kind of affair, you praise Rishayim, they're oizvei, teiro. They're forsaking the Torah. Even though openly they may seem to be frum, but in their hearts they're oizvei, teiro. Those who keep the Torah, start up with them. They protest, they fight against the Rishayim. So you see, fighting against the Rishayim, like Pinchas, who took a spear and went against Zimri, that was a sign of Shemrei Torah. And people who keep quiet, and or even more than keep quiet, people who flatter the Rishayim are the ones who in their heart are really oizvei Torah. However, we'll soon see, like every other thing, you have to know conditions. Wu ein, wu ois. You just can't rush into it. You have to know when not to do it. Tanya nam yochadon de b'ayis also, that's Rabbi Destroy, Rabbi Moshen, Eimer. Mutar lizgores b'rishoyim b'lamazeh, shenema, ois v'etere yahar l'rosho. Now, im loch shech odem, if a man will whisper, lachas means a whisper, if a man will whisper into your ear, how can you say so? Well, Akiva is written, Al tischa b'mereyim, don't compete with evildoers. Al tekane b'reisi ablo, and don't get heated up with kine, with anger. Don't get excited with anger against those who do injustice. So you see, you have to keep quiet. When you see people doing injustice, don't get heated up against them. And Merle say to him, came the one whose heart hurts him, means whose conscience hurts him, because he himself is not so good. He's the one that says that. If a man says that, it's because he himself resembles them. He feels in his heart a certain camaraderie with the bad ones. So he's afraid that if you'll start criticizing the bad ones, eventually criticize him too. That's why he says you have to be more tolerant, have to be more liberal, because he's afraid that he himself will someday be exposed to your criticism. Again, Misha Libe Nekha, the one whose heart hurts him, says that. Ella, what's the meaning of that pasuk that he quoted? Al Tisha Bimrem, don't compete with evildoers. It means Liyos Kimrem, to be like the evildoers. If you see evildoers traveling around all the time, spending money lavishly, looking for good times and having expensive homes and all kinds of pleasures, so don't try to compete with them and do the same thing or outdo them. That's what it means. Al tischa, do not compete with evildoers. Al tekane, don't be jealous. Now the word kina means sometimes angry, like kinas Hashem, that Pinchas did, by kane, and sometimes kina means just plain envy. Here it means envy. Al tekane, do not be envious, but isi abla, those who do injustice. Liyas to be isi abla, like those who do injustice. Don't do wrong things because you see other people do it. That's what the world usually does. When something becomes widely accepted, then even the better people are influenced and they let down their guard, and they all say it's not so bad as being done, like divorces. Divorces are rife today. It's a big avla, it's a wickedness, what's going to happen to the family. But people divorce today. It's a widespread thing, even from circles. And so, you have to know, no. Al tekane b'yisei avla, don't be envious of those who do wickedness. That's what it means. But angry you should be against them. But here's another pasuk. Al yekane libcho b'chatoim, your heart should not be envious of the sinners. Ki in beyiras Hashem kol hayom, only in fear of Hashem all day long. That you should be jealous. If you see people sitting and learning all day long, oh, you should say, I'm going to steal that good meter from them. Or people standing long shmon esres, or people are doing mitzvahs and ma'asim tevim, that's why you should be envious, and you should try to steal their good practices and do it yourself. Say that. Gemeini is not so. Gemeini is not so. Vomer Rebbe Yitzchok, Imroi Yisor. How do you say that you can start up with Rishoyim? Omer Rebbe Yitzchok, Imroi Yisor, Rosho, Sha'ashor, Nisachek Eslo. If you see a Rosho that the hour is smiling to him, I mean, things are going well with him, Al Tizgor Rebbe, don't start up with him. Shenema, Yochilu Drocho Bechol Eis. His ways succeed at all times. His ways are going to succeed. Once he's on the road to success, this Russia, then that's what's going to happen. So therefore we see that it doesn't pay to start out with him. Although not only that, Elisha Zeche Badin, he'll win out in judgment. It means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world, even on Rosh Hashanah, this Rosh who is on the road to prosperity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue with him. It doesn't mean he won't get what's coming. Eventually he'll get a big flop. It'll all come at once. But for the time being, he's riding high, and you have to watch out not to start up in the midst of his success. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan in giving him success right now. And therefore, if you'll be in his way, he'll ride over you. Shenema, Moroim Ishpotecho Mineg, your judgments are elevated above him. Meaning they don't come down on him now. They're just suspended in the air above him. Oh, not only that, Elisha Reyeh Bitzorov, he'll see in his enemies, he'll see his revenge on his enemies. If people, let's say, try to plot against Hitler at the beginning, they tried to assassinate Hitler and stop him, so they were caught and they were executed. That's a Kodesh Boros' plan. He wanted Hitler to exist, to carry out his mission. Shinema called Seder of Yofia, where all of his enemies, he'll blow against them. Just with the breath of his mouth, he'll blow and destroy them. So what are you telling me? That it's mutter to start up with Hashem in this world? Anton Lokasha. It's always important to learn the end of the sugi. Just like the beginning, you're home. You're in trouble. Lokasha. That's in his own thing. In his own business, don't start out with him. But in matters of heaven, in things of Avedis Hashem, you can start out with him. Let's say if the Rosh is impinging on the area of Torah, of Mitzvahs, then you have a right to start out. If the Rosh, let's say a gangster, is just making money someplace, somewhere else in Bensonhurst, a gangster is pressing money out of people. None of your business. What do you care? But once somebody starts doing things against Musa or Yerushalayim or good midas or morality, then you have a right to start up with him. That's the first. But don't go away yet. Don't go home yet. Too dangerous. There's more yet to come. That's the first shot. So if it's Bimila did then his things, don't start up with him. But in Mila Dishmaya, you can start up with him. Each one you have to know is a true pshat, not just a choice. You don't choose. All of them are choice. The wish you can say as follows. Even in Mila Dishmaya you have to watch out. It's always talking. Even in Mila Dishmaya you shouldn't start up with him. Look, here's a Rosh that the hour is smiling to him, is riding high right now. Even in Mila Dishmaya watch out for him. But at the time when the hour is not smiling to him, then you can start out. Let's say, suppose already there's out some kind of indictment against him, then you can bring some more things to help him fall more heavily, to make his ruin even greater, then come in and have your sight. But while he's riding high and mighty, watch out for him, even Mila Dishmaya. Both can be talking in a time when the hour is smiling to him. The statement that Mutal is God is, and the statement that's also is God is. Look, Kasha. If you're that Tzadik Gomer, you have no flaws in you, then you can start up even when things are going well with him. If you're a Chafetz Chaim, then you have nothing to be afraid of, you can start up with him. But if you have flaws, you have to be afraid that maybe, first of all, your screws wouldn't hold out against such a thing. When the hour is smiling to him, and you're going to try to oppose him, it's too dangerous if you're not a perfect man. The second, it could be, since you're not perfect, could be your motives are not so good. And when a man's motives are not so perfect, he has to watch out. Now, even though you don't have good motives, it's always a mitzvah to attack or show him. Even just for the fun of attacking them, it's worthwhile. But then, that's only when the show is not misafekas, but when the hour is smiling to him, you have to watch out. You have to have good motives, perfect motives. That's what he's saying. It was meant by the pasuk. Lomo tabid begdim. The Novi said, why do you look at the treacherous ones, at the disloyal ones? And you look on, and you don't do anything at the disloyal ones. Tachlish, you remain silent. Bevala rosha tzadik. When the rosha swallows a man who's more righteous than he is. That was what the Novi said. Why do you look on silently? We see a rosha swallowing a tzadik who's more righteous than he is. So the question is, v'chi rosha belei a tzadik? Can a rosha swallow a tzadik? Or if it's written, Hashem lo yazvena b'yada. Hashem won't leave over the tzaddik in the hand of the rosha. Won't forsake the tzaddik. If it was written, lo yuna the tzaddik call of it. It won't happen by accident to a tzaddik any injustice. Yuna means even by accident wouldn't happen to a tzaddik any injustice. So what does it mean a rosha can swallow a tzaddik? The answer is, it says in the pasuk, a clue. Tzaddik means menu. The rosha is not swallowing a tzaddik. He's swallowing somebody who's more tzaddik than he is. Means a big rosh is swallowing a smaller rosh. That's what it means. El tzadik mimenu belea. He swallows somebody who is more righteous than he is. But tzadik gomenu belea. Now the Novi is complaining. Why should that be? Why should a big rosh be allowed to swallow a smaller rosh? After all, the other man is a smaller rosh. That's the question. But that he swallows a tzadik gomer, that won't happen. He boys, if you wish, you can say another Torah, Shor Misafekes Lo Yishani. It means, when the Rosh, the hour is smiling to him, he can swallow a tzaddik. Could happen. Could happen. A Rosh is swallowed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles on the Rosh. He says, right now, I'm letting you play around for a while before I'll give you the final whammy. So therefore, he lets him play around. So don't stop. So then, he can swallow even a real tzaddik gomer. But otherwise, he Eshraim v'sachek is low. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't let the Rosh swallow a tzaddik gomor. This is nothing to the previous. Previous we're talking about starting up with the Rosh. So we said Terutzim. Now the question is, how can the Novi say that the Rosh swallows a tzaddik? So one Terutz is, he swallows somebody who's more righteous than he is, but not a tzaddik gomor. Another Terutz is, sometimes even a tzaddik gomor he might swallow when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to be done. At that time, the Kaddish Baruch looks on silently when the Rosh is swallowing a tzaddik gomer. But it has nothing to do with the question of starting up with the Rosh. That's a different sugya. Say that. If a person sets a fixed place for his tefillah, there's another nusach for his Torah learning. Now, what does it mean, set a fixed place? He takes his tefillah so seriously that the place where he davens every day is to him like a little Beis HaMikdash. His corner, where he stands every day, is to him a sanctuary. And therefore, he puts all his kefis into his davening. This is a man who is dedicated to the career of tefillah. Same, according to the Nusach on the side, is Torah. To him, it's a career. Whether he can spend an hour or more, whatever he does in tefillah or Torah, he wants it in that place because it's a sanctuary. So a man who dedicates himself to tefillah, oivov neiflim tatho, his enemies will fall under him. He'll be able to overcome his enemies because the keach of his tefillah will give him victory over his enemies. Shenema v'samti mokim lami Yisrael v'netati. I'm going to make a place for my people Yisrael, and I will plant them. And I'll plant them in that place. That's a remez. That if they'll serve me in one place with kfiyas, not derech arai. Like people sometimes put on that tali Shabbos morning and they go as voyagers from one shul to another, wandering around every Shabbos. Some people do that. But to them, it's just a voyage, fun, travel around different shuls Shabbos morning for visiting. But if they're not, they don't mean business with davening. Visiting, they find people to talk to in this shul, people to talk to in the other shul. But a man doesn't care for talking. A man that means business with the davening, he considers the place where he davens always as his Beis HaMikdash. I'm talking about the shul, even the corner of the shul where he davens, his seat, is his Beis HaMikdash, and that's where he wants to be all the time, to invest his keches in daven. So therefore, I'll make a place for my people Yisrael, and I will plant them there, v'shochan tachto, and he will dwell on his place, v'lo yirgaz oid. He will no longer have any fears, yirgaz, trembling, or movement of fears. V'lo yosifu b'nei avlo lam, they say, and those who do injustice will no longer afflict him, kasher bereshen, as it was in the days of old. From now on, he's going to be protected if they'll remain on their place and serve me with a full earnestness. Now, Hune has the kasha. Rome is always, when you bring a contradiction, like Sus v'roifei Romo b'yomi, cast into the sea. Rome is a contradiction from two places. Like Ureminhu, the same word, Romi, means to throw one thing against another. See if it's written, La noisai, the wicked will no longer afflict him. Or see if it's written, La chaloisai, will no longer destroy him. There's two different ideas. One said they won't afflict him. The other said they won't destroy him. It looks like they will afflict him. So he said, Bechilo la noisai. At the beginning, they come to afflict him. But if a man doesn't persist in his tefillahs, in his service of Hashem, the end will be la chaloisai, they'll destroy him. So therefore, it's important to start out right, and with his efforts in tefillah, he'll stop them at the beginning. Say that. Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael Vika Hir Balahem Toyo Mitzvah Shenem Hashem Chavit Baman Zidikai Yagdil Toyo Yagdil 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 Yag